Hey there, Brianne.
Howdy.
I'm good. How are you?
Well, my nose, I'm sure you can probably tell, is a little stuffy.
I can actually tell that remotely.
Yep, we are recording from each other's separate locations tonight because hashtag life.
Right. Hashtag technology. Thank you. Hashtag everybody's busy. Hashtag we're old.
Hashtag all the
Right. Yeah. So it's 2020. We're coming to you live from a new decade of all things.
Now we can say that we've been recording in two separate decades.
That's actually awesome. I didn't even think of that.
Yep. I mean, we can't say we've been recording for two decades, but we can say we've been recording since the last decade.
Exactly. And something I also want to mention that is a plus to recording remotely, I can make all the stupid faces I want and you can't see me, Brian.
I only get secondhand embarrassment by what I say, not by the faces that you make.
Right. I can do one of those cheerleader looking in the mirror faces. You know what I'm talking about? Like practicing your facials. I can do that all I want here in the privacy of my own home.
Without my silent, or actually in this case, probably not so silent judgment.
Right. And not even my husband can see me because I'm behind a closed door. So stupid faces abound.
Managed to get him out of the recording area.
Oh yeah, he's locked down on Zelda Breath of the Wild in the living room. So I think he's good to go. The little one's in bed and the dogs are in the bed, so
I am also in the comfort of my living room, and the dog has been sleeping in her bed in the closet for probably a couple hours. She's out. I just went and picked her up today from, I keep calling her my aunt, but she's my mom's cousin. So I think that makes her my, is it second cousin once removed or something? I don't know.
I don't know if it's removed. I think removed means someone has divorced, and it could be. I don't know your family tree, but
You know what? If this were Downton Abbey, we would know this stuff.
we would because you would have to know that stuff.
Right, exactly. Well, she
Right.
lives over in Bridgetown, so I had to go and pick her up today. She was nice enough to watch her for the 2 weeks that I was gone for Christmas. So I went over, picked her up, and she came home and she laid down. She grabbed her toy, she laid down, and then she was out. She must have had a long 2 weeks. She must have been running around too much.
Oh yeah, to lay down like that.
Oh yeah.
So, did you have a good holiday, Brienne? I really haven't talked to you too much except through text.
Yeah, that's been a long 2 weeks, it seems. It's hard to believe that right before we went for vacation, our separate vacations, which I think you did more of a staycation than I did.
Oh yeah.
We were doing the Vanilla Claws review and the Dark Brewing review, and I'm just like, man, was that only like 2 or 3 weeks ago? It seems like it's
It
been
was. It does. It seems like it's been forever ago.
Yeah, it does feel forever ago, but it was really good vacation, minus the travel. You know how I hate flying.
Right.
I didn't have too bad of a flight on the way down. I went from Cincinnati to Atlanta and then Atlanta to Charleston, and then I did the same trip on the way back. And I tell you what, with those storms that we had coming through, which weren't really storms, I mean it was just a lot of rain and wind and everything. The flight was so bumpy that they couldn't have the drink service come through, and that was really when I needed that Jack and Coke because it was terrifying.
Yeah.
I'm like sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, like, oh my God, this plane's going down. Because you know, like when they drop altitude, you kind of feel like that weightless feeling, like when you're coming over the hill of a roller coaster.
Right.
It was like that, except it didn't last for like a split second. It lasted for like 6 or 7 seconds at a time. And I'm thinking to
Yeah.
myself, oh my God, this
Yeah.
plane's going down. The plane's going down.
You were like that. You were like that lady in Bridesmaids. that was freaked out on the plane, and she's like, I seen it in a vision. We're going down. We're going down.
Exactly. I felt like that. And the thing was, like, because it was cloudy out, you couldn't see the end of the wing because of the clouds. So not only could you not see to the end of the wing, which I was sitting on a wing aisle, but it was so cloudy that you couldn't tell how high off the ground you were. So, I mean, you couldn't tell, are we dropping a lot? Are we, like, you know, 4 inches off the ground, we're getting ready to crash? Or are we thousands of feet in the air? I don't know. And it was bumpy the entire way. And we were in the clouds for all but about 15 minutes of the flight. And that was it. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I just need a drink. I just need a drink.
So essentially what you're saying is that you needed to have one of those flasks that fits in the middle of your bra, that like sandwiches in between your breast right there in the bra. That's exactly what you needed at that time.
That, or somebody could have just like hooked me up to like an IV or something, kind of like how they did in, what's that movie, Inception, where like they just knock you out for the entire flight and you just wake up as you're landing. That would have been great.
I feel like I want that for every flight I'm on. I'm also not a fan of flying, so.
It was terrifying. But other than that, my Christmas vacation was good. Spent it with my family. We kind of split the time between my mom and dad's down in Charleston and my sister's house up in Fort Lee in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I met my brother-in-law's brother for the first time. And funny enough, his name is Braxton.
That's hilarious.
He lives out in Nebraska, because that's where my brother-in-law and his family is from, is Nebraska. And it was kind of funny, because first of all, there's the Nebraska / Ohio State controversy and my dad rivalry, and my dad is Ohio State and my brother-in-law's family's Nebraska. Obviously, we were able to talk a bunch of shit to both of them, because State way better than Nebraska. But then there was also the whole thing with his name being the same as the brewery that we had just gone to for our last episode. I was like, let me get you some swag.
Right?
He's like, wait, there's a brewery called Braxton Brewing? And I was like, yes, and we just went there.
Maybe you could fly down here, man, and go in with us, and maybe you could score us some free drinks.
Like, I'm not sure if you know who I am.
Right. I know this guy, and his name is Braxton. Not Nebraskan, Braxton.
Exactly. Spelled the same in everything.
Right.
That was my Christmas. Got to spend it with my family, and I taught my 4-year-old niece who, she'll be 5 this year. I taught her how to say her numbers in Greek from 1 to 10. So then she was running around the house yelling out the number 6 in Greek for no reason whatsoever, other than she just knew the word, so she was shouting it out as much as she could.
Nice.
So she's just running around the house going, Exy, Exy, Exy. I was like,
no, not ecstasy, Exy.
My mom's like, what is she shouting? I was like, she's shouting the number 6 in Greek. Why? I don't know, but I guess that's her favorite number to say.
It was fun to say. Yeah. We always stay home for Christmas. Christmas Eve, we spend with my husband's family. We go over to his mom's, mm-hmm. and his grandma's there, and his brother and his wife and their kids. And I actually just became an aunt again today, so that's pretty exciting. Yeah, I had a niece. Well, I didn't have her. My sister-in-law did. So,
and all the hard work.
Right. Like, so I'm sure this weekend at some point when they feel settled, we'll be going in to go over to see her. We went today and got her a couple of things to welcome her into the world. But
no beers yet.
What?
No beers for her yet.
No, you know, I thought about getting her, you know, some low ABV beers, but I didn't know how they'd look upon that, you know.
Yeah, so. Ease her into it. But
I mean, I could have gotten her some Coors Light to ease her into it, you know, because that's basically water anyway. But you know, I didn't want to look. I didn't want to look like the alky aunt. So right. So then
take her to a. Or take her to a bar when she's able to be out and about, so that way you could pull the whole, you've got a baby. In a bar.
You've got a baby in a brewery, like everybody else here. But yeah, so, yes. And then Christmas Day, we went over to my parents, and my sister and her kids come over, and then some of our cousins. And, you know, the morning before we go over there, we do our little Christmas here with my husband and my son and our dogs. And so Santa was good to everybody this year. And I didn't really get that much time off from work because I didn't have that much time left at the beginning of the year. But my husband's been off for like 2 weeks. My son's been off school for 2 weeks. Like, I was off today. I start a new job on Monday. Like, it's just been a whirlwind. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a whirlwind of the last part of the year. So I'm glad to be getting back into this podcast because I need a drink.
So you are ready to go.
Ready to go. So, you know, we're going to start talking about some winter beers. In our upcoming podcasts in the upcoming couple of months. And what we consider winter beers is really anything winter titled, like, you know, what you would think. And I guess what we think as Midwesterners constitutes as a winter beer. Like, for example, the first beer, the second beer we're going to review, the first beer is Moorline Crystal. Excuse me if I'm butchering this, Moorline. Moorline Criskintle Winter Warmer Ale.
Yeah, Chris. I think it is Criskintle because don't they have that German Christmas market down on Fountain Square usually?
They do. I think they didn't this year, but they usually do.
Yeah, and I think they always said it was called Criskintle Markt.
Yeah, and I don't know I don't think that has anything to do with Christian Moorline Brewery, but that is the same, like, it's like a German, and maybe we should have looked into that, and maybe we could put that in show notes, but.
Doesn't it just mean Christchild? Christkindle?
I would think so. I'm not up to speed on my German.
Me
or
either.
Catholic. I don't know if that's Catholic. I always assume everybody that's like German heritage is a Catholic, but
you're like, I'm just assuming this.
I know, I'm just going off of assumptions. You know, I'm starting the new year off assuming, so you know, making an ass out of myself. But I'm tripping up. We're Midwesterners, so you know we're used to. having cold winters here, which it's very odd here in Northern Kentucky right now. We've been in like upper 40s and 50s, even into the 60s. And it doesn't feel much like winter here in the tri-state area. So
I think it was like in the 50s today, and it's been kind of like rainy and nasty outside.
Oh, yeah.
But so, usually real cold weather, I don't think usually kicks in until like late January/February.
Yeah, but that's what we were talking about at dinner this evening with my parents. Like, we'll probably be hit like the end of January, early February. So that's good for the beers we're wanting to review, because not only are we choosing beers with, you know, Midwest, I'm doing this in quotations with my fingers, you know, Midwestern winter titles, but also like porters and stouts, which are dark, heavy beers that, you know, you feel like you want to stand around a fire and smoke a aromatic tobacco pipe and just be like, I need a beer. You know, like, that's what I think of like when I think of winter.
Or something.
What'd you say?
Like, you're just going to turn into a Viking or something.
Right. Like, you're standing around a fire draped in some kind of animal fur. I'm sorry, PETA, if you're listening. Draped in some kind of animal fur, drinking some, like, tar black concoction that's going to get you through your next battle. That's what I envision as a winter beer in my Midwest mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm kind of, like, the same way as, like, you know, you think of, like, those heavier, darker, or even more like spiced beers, I think, are the ones that I kind of think of when I think of a winter beer.
Yes.
So yeah, definitely the heavier ones, like the like you said, those stouts, the porters, which I will say, having seen the market for beer between Charleston and Cincinnati, we are blessed and spoiled with the amount of beer that we have here and the different varieties that we have here in the Cincinnati area versus what's available down in Charleston. Because, and I also wonder too if maybe that's also because of the climate difference. Like, it's much warmer down in Charleston than it is here, so you would maybe not have that wide range of beers down there in Charleston. They're going to probably be more like a lighter beer, which
Right.
seem to be a lot of the ones that I would find would be like the ambers or the pale ales or like the IPAs or the gozas. You would see those, but
Right.
really didn't see too many stouts or porters too much. And that was going through like a couple of different stores too.
And that makes sense to me. Now I've never had this Moor Line winter warmer ale. Have you had this before, Brian?
No, I have not, and I don't know if I've had Winter Trip either, because I know that we were going to do Moor Line and then a winter the Braxton Brewery Winter Trip as well.
Right. I've never had that one either. So,
Either of these, but I'm excited to try them. And did we want to kind of talk about the little experiment that we're doing tonight?
yeah. So, we've talked about in previous episodes that we actually thought that some of the beers that we've tasted had a different taste after they set and got a little warmer. And so we thought that maybe this Christian Moor Line winter warmer ale might have a different taste because it's got reading on the back of the can, it's supposed to have and this is their words, essence of chocolate sweetness, and a balance of a hoppy finish and subtle spice flavors. So I'm wondering if that would be more prevalent if it sat and got a little warmer. And then Brianne wanted to try that with the summer or the trip as well. And I didn't personally think that that one would taste different or better, warm, but she's gonna try that as well. So,
Any pig in it for you all tonight?
right. So, yeah, but I've talked to a lot of craft beer drinkers and they've absolutely agreed that certain beers do taste different and if not supposed to be drank at that temperature. So,
I kind of noticed that too. I think when we went to Darkness, one of our previous episodes was that we recorded our episode when the beers were colder, and then after we had finished recording and we were still sitting there going through our beers, it was like, okay, well, wait a minute, this is tasting a little bit different now that it's been sitting here for a while. Maybe we would have rated it differently, or maybe we would have kind of considered the flavor to have changed a bit more. So I kind of wanted to do that this time as well with our two beers that we're going to be reviewing for this episode. So what I did was I put the I took basically kind of like two shot glasses, and I put enough to take a drink of it and review it warm. I put enough in those shot glasses for each one to be able to review, and then I set them out on the counter for a bit and then stuck the cans back in the fridge so that way the cans would be cold, so I had a warm sample of it and a cold sample of it for both of
Right.
them.
Yeah,
So,
I did the same thing with the Moor Line.
okay, so
Yeah.
we'll get to see then if this has made any difference or not.
Because I really thought that all the beers that we had that had vanilla in it had a more prevalent vanilla flavor once it was warmer, except for that Vanilla Claws. It really just hit the nail on the
Everything
mark.
you took, yes.
Yeah. So, and I've actually had some friends that are not beer drinkers. So shout out to Braxton Brewery if you'd like to support us at all, even if for one episode, because we have gotten some people who don't normally drink beer who are wanting to come down to Braxton and try some beers, all based off of that review from that episode that we did. Like, they were pretty excited about it. So, and that excited me. So, should we go? Should we start with our more line?
Sure. Did we want to kind of like go through a description of it real quick? And
sure.
Yeah. Okay. So the can art, what do you think about the can art of it?
I think it's a beautiful can. It's, it's like white and black with light blue and dark blue, like snowflakes all over it. And it has a sprightly looking woman with what looks like snowflakes just drifting around her as she dances in a village. I mean, that's this is the story I'm getting from this can.
Does she look to you like she could be, you know, in a, what is that movie? The Christmas Carol. Does she look like maybe a female version of the Ghost of Christmas Present?
You know, agree with that, because it kind of looks like they're using a snowflake as like that little like holly wreath around her head.
Yeah, it looks like she's got like a wreath around her head, and she's got like that flowy white dress on. I mean, she just makes me think of the Ghost of Christmas Present is what she makes me think of. And it says on the can that it's a winter warmer inspired by the German spirit of holiday gift giving.
So yes.
Me think of that being a, of her being like the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Yes.
But yes, I love the can art on this. It's very, very festive.
It is very festive. And I love the description on the can saying, you know, brings you that cozy, warm feeling for those crispy, wintry nights. Share the warmth and enjoy the perfect brew for the season. I mean, how could you not want to drink this beer?
Yeah, it feels like it, like just looking at the can, it's very, very seasonal, very festive looking, and then very apropos of a winter beer. Like, if you're looking for a winter beer and you are going just based on the can art, that right there is going to stick out to you.
That's oh, yeah. Sure. And I like the name Winter Warmer Ale. Like, you know, it's cold outside, but drink this ale and it's going to warm your soul and your mind and your just everything about you. It's going to be warmer when you pick up this can and and down it, you know. But
go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I'll tell you, though, it is 7% ABV, which, you know, to me is a little high, a little high.
And it's also got 32. It's also got 32 IBU as well. And that's going to be significantly higher than the other one that we're going to be reviewing as well. So,
oh yeah. So,
So did you want to go ahead and try the warm one first or the cold one?
I think beer, in my opinion, is best enjoyed cold. So I'm going to try my cold one first. Yes,
I will do that as well.
Okay. All right. Okay. I definitely taste the chocolate in it.
Yeah, I get a hint of it. I think also I'm kind of having difficulty picking up any specific flavors because of my nose being stopped up. You know how they say like your taste, your sense of taste is amplified by your, your sense of taste is amplified by your sense of smell.
Yes.
And I think my nose being kind of stopped up right now is hindering my ability to be able to taste some, but I can taste a hint of chocolate, but there's also kind of a, I don't know if it's a, I can't tell if it's a spice or if it's a sweetness that I taste.
I taste the sweetness. I can't really, and I'm not suffering from nasal meltdown like you are, but I can't taste any spices in this. The chocolate is very prevalent to me, and but it's finished off. I feel like it's a bitter chocolate taste, like cacao, like I think it's the hops that, like it said on the can. I mean, I think the hops finishing it off gives it that bitterness, but it's not too bitter at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a new, we kind of talked through a new rating system. You know, we thought maybe we should go with, you know, maybe, four ratings versus three.
Yeah. Cause there were, a pretty good handful of times where we were like, well, it's somewhere in between this and this. And it seemed like we were kind of almost putting absolutes on it. It's either absolutely yes, absolutely no, or meh. And it seemed like, okay, well, maybe we need to change that rating system. Did you want to talk about our new rating system?
Sure. Number one is still Hell Yeah, Bartender, Pour Me Another. But number two is done for the night on this one, but I'd have it again on a different day. And number three is I'd rather have a different beer from this brewery. And four is this is not my bottle of beer. Like instead of saying not my cup of tea, not my bottle of beer. But on this one, and I think we should rate it cold and warm.
Okay.
I'm going to rate the taste on the cold as one and done for the night on this one, but I'd have it again on a different day. And the reason that I would say that is because I do like this beer, mm-hmm. but it being 7% ABV, and I'm already, like, I've had quite a few drinks since we started drinking it, and because I do like it, but it's, you know, I don't think you could have several of these because the ABV is pretty high.
Yeah.
So
I would also say a one and done on the for that one as well. Mm-hmm. So a two, one and done for the night, but have it again on a different day. And that's just because of the fact that I think it's because I'm not picking up so much on the taste again because of the sense of smell being gone right now.
Right.
But so it's like I can't really tell one way or another. Like, you know, I can taste a bit of bitterness, but I almost feel like that's almost like a hoppy bitterness. Like that's what I'm picking up is kind of like a hoppy bitterness as opposed to a chocolate bitterness.
Yes.
Well, like, I can taste some of the chocolate. It's just like a very faint hint. So that's why I would say on this one, cold, two, one and done for the night. But I try it again on a different day, preferably when I didn't have my nose all stopped up.
Right. Well,
a fair rating for that one.
I believe it is. So if you want to go ahead then, Brianne, and try the warm one.
Okay. Maybe this one will be a bit more, a bit stronger.
Right.
Okay. On that one, it is stronger. But I feel like the thing that's coming out stronger for me is that hoppy flavor.
Mm-hmm. It's
not like an IPA hoppy, like where, you know, it's like you just straight up chewed up a Christmas tree. But, I mean, you still have that. It's got like that hoppy flavor that kind of like sits there on your tongue after you swallowed it and like you, you know, smack your lips a little bit. It's kind of like, okay, well, I can taste some hoppiness, like a little bit of like a citrusy or a piney note to it, but I'm still not picking up much of a flavor. It almost just kind of tastes, and maybe it's because I've had it sitting out for maybe a little too long, it almost tastes a little flat.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And I would have to say, and it's crazy to say this because I gave it, you know, in my opinion, a high rating the first time around. But drinking this on a warm level, I'm going to have to give it a rating of a four, that this is not my bottle of beer.
I would have to go just one step above that and say a three. Maybe I would try something different from this brewery. You know, I would rather have a different beer from this brewery.
Well, yeah.
And that's just the warm. Cold, I would say it's probably a one and done for the night. Warm, I'd say a three.
A three.
Yeah.
And I guess that's like, I guess that's where I'm having my problem with like the 3 and 4 rating. I guess like, of course I'd rather have another, of course I'd rather have another beer from this brewery, because I'm sure most breweries have at least something that you drink. Mm-hmm. But this is just not my bottle of beer at trying it at a warm temperature, yeah. I guess. Like, you know, just not much for me.
I think maybe that this particular beer might be one that we can review later again in the season. Like, I would like to review it again later. Like maybe if we kind of like do like a grab bag,
yeah,
of type of episode, or like if we both pick the same beer for a couple of our reviews, and then our last one is like, okay, ladies' choice, what do you want for this one? And we like each have our own separate beer.
Like, true.
I would like to try to review that one again when, you know, I'm not having the sinus issues that I'm having right now.
Right. Right.
To see if that has changed at all.
I totally agree with that.
Okay. Well, that one, I think that's a good wintry beer.
I think so.
But I feel like I'm kind of playing it safe on the taste and everything right now, just because of the fact that I'm not 100%.
Right, right. Well, shall we move on to Winter Trip?
I am perfectly fine with moving on to that one. Yes, let's go with that one.
So, Winter Trip is a Braxton Brewery beer, and let's start out with the can art. You want to talk about this one, Brianne?
Yeah. So this one, Winter Trip, it's a yellow, or almost kind of like a Mountain Dew yellow, I would say. Yellow, or like a lime. Like
do
a,
the dew.
Yeah, like a lemon lime yellow. Can with some Crayola green mixed in with it. And it's got a picture of what looks like a couple of palm trees with a beach chair and a beach umbrella. And so when you think of Winter Trip, I'm thinking that you would have something kind of like mountainous. This is looking more towards a, what do you call that, snowbird?
Yeah, I was actually just thinking the same thing. Like, yeah. Everybody that lives in this area flocks to Florida this time of year, yeah, because their skin's so old and thin, they can't handle it anymore. So
it's seeming like it's going to be more of like a tropical drink, or maybe like an escape, which it does say like on the can, it says escape to paradise and lift one to life, Winter Trip.
Because so, Lift One to Life is something that Braxton has put on all of their beers, and that's kind of their mantra, Lift One to Life. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah, and this one, the can art, I don't know if that I would look at it necessarily and say, that is a winter beer right there.
I agree. I was thinking that as well, because like what you said, when you're thinking Winter Trip, like in my Midwest mind, I'm thinking, okay, where's the ski resort? Like, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very wintry, but I mean, at the same time, with that color of like that yellow green color, it does stand out.
Right. And maybe with Braxton being, you know, a Northern Kentucky brewery, maybe that's kind of am I using the right term here? Oxymoron? Like, you know, we're in the Midwest and everybody here is wishing for warmer weather because they're finished with winter. So they're wanting warmer weather. And maybe that's what this is supposed to represent.
Like it says like an escape, like you're looking for an escape. Yeah. Like, out of winter.
Right. Like they're going to crack open a can of this beer, sit in their garage and listen to Jimmy Buffett, Cheeseburger in Paradise. Maybe right. That's what they were hoping for.
Yep, I could definitely see that.
It's a so it's a pineapple, and excuse me if I say this wrong, because I said this, and this is before you joined the podcast, Brianne. I actually reviewed Summer Trip, which I love of Braxton's. It's one of my favorite beers, period. This is a Verliner Weisse. I'm wanting to say that I'm saying that right. Could be wrong. I have
no clue, because again, my German is very little.
Broken.
Very, very little compared to like Spanish, or not, my German is very little. Gosh, I can't English very well either, apparently. my German is at like level zero, pretty much. my only German that I know is just by guessing.
Yeah.
So what guess is as good as mine.
What is the ABV on this one, Brianne?
The ABV, it took me a bit to find it, but it is 4.2% ABV, and the IBU, remember how the last one was 32? Yeah. So it was kind of a more hoppy one. The IBU for this is 4.
Oh.
So it's really low ABV, really low IBU as well.
So you could crank these back all day is basically what we're saying.
I'm thinking so, yeah. You could probably take a couple of these at a time. I mean, you know, drink responsibly, but you could probably take a couple of these and not have any impairment ability or impairment to your abilities.
Right.
As long as you were spacing them out, I'm thinking.
Or you could get a 12 pack of them, or 2 6-packs, because I don't think these come in 12 packs, but get 2 6-packs of these and just go cabrewing.
Yeah, that would probably be, I mean, I would bring Slangria, but that's just me.
Well, I don't know if you'd go really go cabrewing with this, because this does say limited trip series.
That's so true.
I don't think you would be getting this in the Midwest. Once again, you could travel these beers elsewhere where you could go cabrewing. But if you wanted to wait in this area to be able to take this beer cabrewing, you're not going to be able to, unless you bought up a bunch of it. And then I do think beer has a shelf life, so that might not be a good idea either.
Maybe just enjoy it in your garage.
Right. Listening to Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah. But it does say, the description on the back of it says, just because the cold months are in season doesn't mean you can't escape away to the style of warmer days. And then it says it's a refreshingly bright beer brewed with the spirit of summer that breaks free from the heavy winter sippers, so you can sit back, chill out, and look forward to the next summer trip ahead. So this to me makes me think, also saying that it's a pineapple beer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's making me think that this is probably going to be a very light beer, so you're not going to have the same type of beer like a porter or a stout that we were talking about when we were thinking of winter beers.
Right.
So this seems like, okay, if you're not, I'm assuming, again, you know, I haven't tried this yet, but I'm thinking it's going to be one of those, if you're not a stout or a porter person, you're not looking at those heavier beers, then this might be something that's up your alley for those of you who can't handle those heavier ones just yet.
Right. This is training wheels.
Yes. So did we want to go ahead and try a sip? I'm going to do my warm one. Did you get a warm one at all?
No, ma'am. I'm trying this one ice cold.
Okay. Well, let me go ahead and I'll try it cold with you.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take our drinks.
All righty.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow. That's got some tartness to it.
It does, like a Gosa, but not as sour.
Yeah, it you can definitely tell that there's like that pineapple tang to it.
Oh, it's, yeah.
The pineapple flavor itself, I don't, again, because of my stuffed up nose, I don't know if the pineapple flavor is really like a punch in your mouth type of a thing.
It is.
Okay.
It's amazing. It's, like I said, the Summer Trip is one of my favorite beers, period. It's brewed with like passion fruit. I don't know if it's actual passion fruit or if it's just flavoring. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's amazing. And this is just like it, just pineapple. And I mean, you gotta like pineapple, obviously, to like this beer. But this is light, refreshing, and just I would give this hell yeah, bartender, pour me another. Definitely.
I would too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even with the stuffed up nose, I'm thinking that this one, if I was at, you know, 100% function, I would probably really enjoy this. I mean, I could probably take like a whole pint of that.
Oh yeah, and you know, I would think also this may be like your end of winter beer. Like you're looking forward to, like, because sometimes here in the Midwest, we don't even get spring. It just goes straight to summer. Just like sometimes we don't get fall. It goes straight to winter. It just depends. But, you know, we got to pick a mix here. But I feel like this could be like, hey, you know, we're ready for summer. Like, let's get these light flavors. Let's pour these stouts and porters down the sink. Let's get some light beers going on. Like, that's what I feel like this beer might be.
I think that the flavor definitely matches up to what they're trying to convey on the can art and the description of it.
Oh yeah. Once again, Braxton's just hits a home run. Like, there's very few beers of theirs, and I hope they're listening because I'm kissing their ass right now. There's very few beers of theirs that I haven't liked at some first, you know, at some point.
And see, I was just the opposite. I mean, up until our trip to Braxton last month, I was really kind of not looking forward to going to Braxton a bit there because I was like, man, I've had the pumpkin pie one. Wasn't a fan of that. It just tasted really bitter to me. It didn't taste like pumpkin pie at all.
Yeah, I didn't either.
What was the other Grater's one that they did? The black raspberry chip?
Yeah, and it's funny because when I first had it, I feel like I liked it. And then the next two times I had it, I was disappointed, just like the Grater's blueberry pie that they released. And, you know, and I'm wondering, you know how sometimes you don't like a band until you see them live?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes it's the same way with beer at a brewery. Like, you can't get the actual taste unless it's on draft, maybe.
Yeah, I think that that's something that's pretty common, I think, with a lot of beer drinkers, is that they prefer draft to can for a lot of people.
Right, which I do love beer. I like, my favorite way to drink beer is ice cold from a can that has been in a actual cooler. Doesn't have to be a Yeti cooler because I'm not a brand whore, but a cooler nonetheless. Like, usually in the summer, my husband and I will go down to the gas station next to our house and get a huge bag of ice in the morning, put a bunch of beers on ice, and then when we come home from work, we have, like, a 12-pack or a 6-pack waiting for us that's been chilling all day long. Yeah. And to me, that is the best way to drink any beer, because I like everything cold.
And you know what? I've not tried one that way before, but
girl,
come summer, I think that's going to have to be part of my summer plans. And and I'll say, I just took a sip of the warmer one.
Okay.
That, the flavor is much more pronounced, that pineapple flavor.
Oh, really?
Pronounced. It does taste a little bit, just a smidge flatter, but I think that's probably because it's been sitting out for a bit.
Right.
That pineapple flavor is much more pronounced, but it also is a lot smoother as well.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Which I thought was nice. I mean, like, I just took a sip, and it's like, it almost tastes kind of, the warmer it is, for me, it almost tastes more like a cider.
I could see that. I hope no one got that burp I just had on.
I love it, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I could see this tasting like a cider at that point. And there's another brewery, and I don't remember who it is. It might be Avery Brewing from Colorado. No, it's not Avery. It might be that, I think, Ace Brewery, I think, and it's a California brewery. I think they do a pineapple ale.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah. I saw it at Jungle Gems. And then someone else I know has had it. And they told me I need to try it. But yeah, I could see where it would be cidery. Like, almost in that woodchuck family of ciders.
Yeah, I could see that. Or almost like not Reds, what's the other one? Angry
Angry
Orchard.
Orchard, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that I mean, I don't see any problem with either one of those. I would say both cold and warm, I would give it a bartender, pour me another.
Oh yeah, definitely. But again, I want to stress how good Braxton's beer is, and honestly, Christian Moorline too. And Brian and I have had the pleasure of going to both breweries.
Yes, we have.
And we went during Halloween down to Christian Moorline's brewery. It's super old. If you can get down there, it's very much worth your time. And then there's the Moorline Lager House at the Banks, where it's more of a restaurant, but they have tons of drafts available. They probably have, I don't know if they would have different ones or the same ones that they have on draft down at the regular
Yeah, my
brewery.
patient.
Right. But you can also take like a little mini tour. I think they have some of their, what do you call those that they brew the beer in? What are those called?
Like the vats.
I guess. I don't know if they're like decanters or whatever they are. Those huge bins, like, I don't know.
Oh, like those big metal like brewing vats.
Yeah.
I don't know what the name of them is, but
I think that's something we need to look into.
we can maybe ask that next time that we go on a tour.
Yes, and I really think we need to make our way back down to the actual Christian Moorline Brewery, because I feel like when we were down there on Halloween, we were there for that escape room slash haunted house thing, and I feel like we didn't get a feel for the brewery too much because we had to like shotgun our beer. We couldn't take it on the tour.
I didn't even get a beer when I was down there.
Oh, well, I didn't. I had to shotgun it.
I didn't even get me a beer. I was like, no, I'm not gonna have enough time. I didn't feel like I had enough time
To
to,
enjoy it.
well, I didn't feel like I had enough time to make a decision, and then once I'd made that decision to then enjoy it,
Right.
was like, you know what, I'm just gonna do a water right now.
Which is exactly what I'm gonna do when I'm finished with this beer so I can cleanse my palate.
That sounds like a great plan. So, do we want to also talk about what we're going to do on our next episode, or did we want to go into our New Year's resolutions and our rants?
Maybe I think we should go into our New Year's resolutions on this episode, and then next episode hit up our rants.
Okay, we'll
What
do the
is
big one in our next episode.
Yeah.
Did you want to start your New Year's resolutions?
Sure. I think this year my number one resolution is to stop procrastinating, and that's in every avenue of my life. Procrastination is a dark cloud that looms over my head, and I honestly think it's thanks to my zodiac. If people want to blame things on their zodiac, I'm a Pisces, damn it. I'm a dreamer. I'd sit and daydream all day and think of this and think of that. I mean, it really gets in the way of me getting things done and accomplished. So that's my number one New Year's resolution. And then obviously just to be a better overall person, as always, better wife, better mother, better everything. What about you?
Well, I am also a Pisces, and I also have problems with procrastination. So I feel like I'm the person that, not necessarily daydreaming, but I will sit there and I will make lists and write down all these really good intentions of things that I want to do. And then next thing I know, it's, December 28th, and I've not gotten a single daggone thing done. I'm one of those people that it's like I keep meaning to do stuff, and then I never actually do it. But kind of, I mean, I guess I could say like all of my New Year's resolutions could all lead back to procrastination because I've been putting off doing all of these all this entire time. But I know two of the things that I, well, three of the things that I really wanted to do. I wanted to get to a more financially stable environment, so to basically where I write out a budget and I stick to a budget because I feel like being single and living by myself, I don't have any accountability to anyone. I don't have to do anything at any certain time unless I make plans with people. And even then, I can sometimes still flake on them because I've got friends that are like, you know what, let's just stay inside tonight. Okay, that's fine.
So that's no one's holding anybody accountable.
Right.
Exactly. Are they all Pisces, Brianne? Your other friends, are they all Pisces?
They are not, but all four of us, our birthdays are January to March.
Oh. So
the first quarter there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I want to be, you know, kind of like Dave Ramsey baby stepping this year. Yeah. Get me some funds available. Next thing I want to do, obviously, I think this is the big one for everybody, it seems like, because you always see all the gym membership, the gym membership commercials on TV. Get in shape. Mine is not to, like, look good in a bathing suit or look good in a certain dress. I just want to be able to fit comfortably into the roller coaster seats at Kings Island, because I love Kings Island. And, I mean, you know, when you... when you're going to push that bar down, you're like, oh, is it going to click the third time or is it not going to click? Let me suck it in.
Oh, girl, trust me. I've been there.
Yeah.
I've never done that.
So that's going to be one of my other New Year's resolutions. And then the third one, it's a little different than I think probably most people's resolutions. But this year, I really want to go and take classes to become a responsible gun owner. So I currently do not have a gun. I have shot a gun once in my life, and that was when I went to Point Blank up the road, and we went shooting kind of like on a whim. And it was a terrifying feeling not knowing what to do. It was basically, you know, like, here, I'll help you load. Thankfully, my friend's dad, who was in the Navy, was there, and he was able to say, okay, here's how you load this. Here's the safety, do this. And I'm like, okay. But it's a terrifying feeling not knowing how to use that kind of a weapon. And I think this year, what I want to do is I want to, especially because I live alone by myself in, you know, like a one bedroom apartment. I don't have any close family members or anything that's like, you know, right next door to where if something were to happen, like if somebody were to break in or something, they're right next door and they can come over. I want to be a responsible gun owner and go take classes. So that way I know how to use and maintain a firearm responsibly.
Well, I think that's a great resolution. And I just want to let you know that if you ever want to hit up the gun range, we are responsible gun owners here in the Holler household, and we could help you as well. So
I would love to do that.
Yes. You just let us know. We are supporters of the NRA.
Awesome. I am a very big Second Amendment supporter. And
yes, ma'am.
I feel like it's almost a, what's the word I'm looking for? Not ironic. It's almost, word I'm looking for? Hypocritical to be a supporter of it, but then not exercise it.
Exactly. And that's why so many people died for that cause, is for us to be able to exercise it.
Exactly. So I feel like that's something that if I have a strong opinion on it, I feel like I need to know more about the use of your Second Amendment from a practical standpoint as opposed to just a theoretical standpoint.
Yes, ma'am.
So I feel like that's kind of like where some of my hypocrisy, I think, comes into play. So that's my third New Year's resolution for the year, is to go ahead and make sure that I put my money where my mouth is, so to speak.
Gotcha. I getcha.
Yep.
Well, I think that pretty much wraps up this episode.
Yep. And I think our next episode, we're going to do two more winter beers. We're going to do Thundersnow by Mad Tree, and then the Duncan Coffee Porter by Harpoon.
Yeah.
So those are going to be a little bit heavier, I believe. I'm not sure about Thundersnow, but I feel like the Duncan Coffee Porter is going to be a little bit heavier. So that's kind of more of that, you were talking about that Midwestern wintry beer.
Yes.
that might be one that's going to be a little bit heavier for us to.
I think so. And I've never had anything from my recollections. I don't think I've ever had a Harpoon beer.
I haven't either. I've had a Mad Tree before, but the Mad Tree that I had didn't really seem like it had a good flavor to it. I had Shade.
And, oh, okay.
And that was one that I thought I was going to like, and it turned out I was like, I'm not sure about this. So we'll see maybe if this one can kind of turn my thoughts around on the Mad Tree.
Well, hopefully it does, because Mad Tree does have some good brews. We'll be back with you guys here soon. And so Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.